This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. Today, we skim through an in-depth report of a couple of folks who spent a night in Portland this last weekend, one inside the federal courthouse, the other outside on the streets with protesters. And then we close up with the news that Major League Baseball, only just begun, may be in jeopardy because their gods are false and fake and devour their devotees. First, a view from inside Portland. Mike Bellasmo and Jillian Flaccus report for the Associated Press on doings in Portland, Oregon over the weekend. Bellasmo reported from inside the federal courthouse with the federal agents. Flaccus reported from outside with the protesters. What began as a dance party at the Salmon Street Springs Fountain, a riverfront landmark in the heart of Portland, with dozens of drummers beating out entrancing rhythms and a crowd of hundreds dancing in the setting sun, grew into a march of thousands, estimated to be as many as 4,000 people, marching to the federal courthouse. Two blocks west and one block south, several dozen federal law enforcement agents guard the Mark O. Hatfield Federal Courthouse, and they could hear the protesters coming. Under orders to protect the courthouse, federal property that has been increasingly targeted by the city's protests. The outside was boarded up with thick plywood, narrow slits at the top of the plywood, accessed by mechanized scaffolding, give the agents inside a view of the crowd. The chaos in Portland spread this weekend to other cities, from Oakland to Aurora, Colorado, to Richmond, Virginia. Around 10:15 in Portland, the protesters make their first foray into conflict. A man tries climbing the fence and is quickly arrested. There's a fence running around the federal building. 30 minutes later, the fence is rocking and leaning sharply as dozens of protesters press their weight against it, some of them throwing their bodies against the fence at a running start. The fence is designed to absorb the impact from a car going up to 30 miles an hour. In this case, it springs back. Behind the front lines of the protesters, drummers have whipped up demonstrators at the fountain and regrouped and led the crowd in dancing and chanting. Monica Ark is one of those, gyrating to the music, waving her cell phone flashlight in the air with hundreds of others. This professional midwife had left her 14-year-old son at home and joined her sister-in-law, also a teacher, to protest the presence of the federal agents and to support Black Lives Matter. She said, "We are not here being violent or being destructive." Right, you're just bouncing off the fence, trying to pull it down. Okay, anyways, she says, "We have a positive message. There's nothing to quell here," she said, referencing Trump's statement that the agents were there to quell unrest. 30 minutes later, someone fired a commercial-grade firework inside the fence. Next came a flare, and then protesters began using an angle grinder to eat away at the fence. A barrage of items come whizzing into the courthouse. Rocks, cans of beans, water bottles, potatoes, and rubber bouncy balls that cause the agents to slip and fall. Within minutes, the federal agents at the fence perimeter fired their first tear gas of the night. Inside the courthouse, it's dark, pitch dark, except for one narrow ceiling bulb that casts a cone of light over the stairs. Without the lights, the agents are hoping they'll be better protected from people in the crowd who are firing metal ball bearings through the windows with slingshots. Thick ribbons of green light from blinding lasers crisscross the courthouse lobby, forcing the agents who are resting in between deployments to the fence to duck and weave in order to protect their eyes. Agents on scaffolding fire pepper balls through the window slits at the crowd, while others sit quietly on marble benches in the lobby alone or in small groups waiting for their turn at the fence. No one talks much over the whir of the industrial fans set up to blow the tear gas back outside. The men who weren't on the front lines sat with helmets in their laps, but left their gas masks on so they could breathe. The air thick with chemical irritants. Every few minutes, a huge boom from a commercial-grade firework tossed over the fence caused the walls to rattle. The crowd outside cheers as explosions of red, white, and green flash against a thick curtain of yellowish tear gas. The Associated Press story continues. Federal Protective Service, U.S. Marshals Service, and U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents are tired and frustrated. They didn't want to confront the crowd. They just want to go home. For weeks, the chaos of the courthouse has flipped their sleep schedules, turned their family lives upside down, and left them scared each night that they will be hit by a firework or a flare or blinded by a laser. Many were sent from out of town to reinforce the local agents. Some are members of an elite Border Patrol tactical team sent in as reinforcements, but others were already stationed there and said they had chosen to live in the Portland area and call it their home. You see a lot of commentary in social media about, well, they're wearing protective gear, so it's not going to hurt them. Okay, I'll put the same protective gear on you, and I'll throw a brick at your head, and you tell me if you feel comfortable with that, said a senior U.S. Marshals Service official who's overseeing the response in Portland. They can put out 10 seconds of something on social media that unfolded over several minutes, and those are the 10 seconds that look bad for us, whereas the rest of it would look bad for everybody, he said, speaking of the protesters. They use what serves their narrative. The firework comes, another firework comes whizzing in over the fence so fast that the agent doesn't have time to move. It explodes with a boom, leaving his hearing deadened and bloody gashes on both of his forearms. Stunned and with help from his cohorts, he strips down to his boxer shorts and a black t-shirt so his wounds can be examined and then photographed for evidence. He tells his fellow agents he's more worried about his hearing than about the gouges and burns on his arms. By the end of the night, five other federal agents will be injured, including another who got a concussion when he was hit in the head with a commercial-grade firework. One agent was hospitalized. Several agents have lingering vision problems from the lasers. After each night of protests, they seized dozens of homemade shields, slingshots, blocks of wood, and chunks of concrete. My friends have been hit in the head with hammers. I know people who have been shot with fireworks. It's disgusting, said the deputy U.S. Marshal, who's been at the courthouse for weeks. I've never thought I'd have to walk around in my office building wearing a gas mask to go sit in front of my computer. At 2:30 a.m., a large bonfire is burning in front of the courthouse. Protesters are nose to nose with federal agents at the fence. A woman with a megaphone is screaming obscenities through the wire. Tear gas canisters bounce and roll in the streets, their payload fizzing out into the air before protesters pick them up and hurl them back over the fence at the agents who hold their ground. Finally, around 7 a.m., after being in the building since 3 p.m. the day prior, one deputy U.S. Marshal says, "Oh, the world's normal over there, and people are driving to work, and the city is clean and functioning. And I look out on the street, and it looks like downtown Baghdad." With the battle over, the agents and demonstrators gather the things and head to bed. Protesters and protectors sleeping in the same city, perhaps even on the same street, resting up for the next night's fight, when it will all begin again. Now, just remember in all this, the same politicians refusing to intervene in this chaos are the same politicians insisting that law-abiding citizens walk around in straight lines with their shirts tucked in and not going to church, or at least not going to church without bowing to Caesar. The Seattle City Council has passed a law prohibiting its police from using tear gas, and so now the chief of police has notified the city businesses and private residences that she isn't really in a position to protect their properties or persons. The other thing to note here is that I don't think these protesters realize what they are trying to start. They are playing at war. They are pretending violence. It's getting kind of violent, but it hasn't really yet. There's a whole bunch here that they don't even know what they're doing, and it's really, really quite dangerous. This is why, as Christians, we need spiritual weapons for this fight, which is why we want to invite you to our first annual Fight Laugh Feast Conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. I am so excited to hear how many of you have already signed up. It's going to be a blast. There's going to be a big crowd. We've put together a package that is full of feasting, psalm singing, hearty fellowship, and a lineup of speakers committed to showing you how God's Word, the sword of the Spirit, applies to politics, economics, business, education, creativity, marriage, family, and much more. So please join us while space remains, October 1st to the 3rd, as we build a rowdy Christian culture for God's glory and our good. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register today. Last up, Marlins have 14 players test positive for COVID-19, throwing the 2020 season into doubt. It took 4 months for the Major League Baseball season to start, reports USA Today. And now just 72 hours into it, the season could be abruptly ending. Commissioner Rob Manfred must decide whether to delay the 2020 season, postpone it until further notice, or simply hope the Miami Marlins outbreak is an isolated case. For now, Major League Baseball postponed two games scheduled for Monday night for Marlins' home game against the Baltimore Orioles and the New York Yankees game in Philadelphia versus the Phillies. The Marlins have at least 14 players and staff members who've tested positive for COVID-19, and so the team canceled their flight home from Philadelphia after playing three games there this weekend. It's currently unknown how the outbreak occurred with the Marlins, who played exhibition games in Atlanta before traveling to Philadelphia. As of late Monday morning, the remaining games scheduled for the day were to be played as scheduled, according to a baseball official with knowledge of the MLB's plans. The outbreak, particularly this early in the 60-game season, is baseball's worst nightmare. In hindsight, the Major League Baseball Association never should have permitted the Marlins to take the field Sunday against the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park after three players had tested positive for COVID-19 just 2 days after another player tested positive. Marlins manager Don Mattingly said the team never considered not playing, but is now clear that it was a mistake and it has put the entire season in jeopardy. Frankly, I have such mixed feelings about this baseball season. On the one hand, I miss watching and listening to baseball terribly. It's one of my favorite things, especially during the summertime, summer evenings. I love having a game on in the background and listening to the balls and strikes. It's one of my favorite things. But as they've come back, bowing down to false gods, performing more and more elaborate and ridiculous religious rituals for this false religion of solidarity and BLM and Portland chaos, with only a notable few exceptions, I think it might be better for the season to fall by the sword it has chosen. If the MLB has chosen to bow to BLM and the gods of COVID chaos, then maybe it's best to let the season be trampled by that fear and panic and chaos. The kind of courage and reasoning it would take to play through the coronavirus, like teams might have done with the flu or other occasional epidemics, would be the sort of courage and reasoning that would have the teams scorning all the voodoo fetishes and paganism. But since we don't have any of that, the rest of the game feels as empty as the stadiums themselves, and as fake as the canned applause. This is Toby Sumter with CrossPolitik News. You can find this and all our shows at crosspolitik.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight, Laugh, Feast. Our app is the only way to get in the bullpen with Mark Dewey, which is, well, it's a baseball podcast. And, you know, I'm curious to hear what Mark thinks about all this. Anyways, support Rowdy Christian Media. Become a Fight, Laugh, Feast club member. You can get a free t-shirt right now, but also probably the most important thing you should know right now is you can get $100 off your registration for our first annual Fight, Laugh, Feast conference if you're a member. So become a member, get the secret, top secret code from Gabe the Waterboy. Just email him, say you need the code, he'll give it to you. Then you can come and you can meet me and Knox, Gabe, and all our other friends in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st to the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register now. Have a great day.